And Sermon Books, number 613, it will be a song. It will be sung at the end of the lesson that you can come to the front on either side. We'll help you any way we can. It'll be the best thing you ever done in your life if you obey the gospel, or if you fell away, come back to the church, get back in the book of life, and you have that hope of eternal life. You know, last night, God bless us. Bless me, unmerciful, that I had an opportunity to have a lesson, and tonight I've made it again by His will. James tells us, if it's the Lord's will, we shall do this and we shall do that. So it's the Lord's will that I'll get to stand before you again. Last night the lesson was on the wonderful gift of life and the time that we have in this life. You know, God has blessed us that we know the truth, that we have an opportunity to be with Him forever. You know, in Matthew 18 and 20, He says, where two or three gather together, He's in the midst. So tonight, the Lord is in the midst with us tonight. Is that not a wonderful blessing from Him? That was our lesson last night of how we spend our time while we're here on this earth. You know, we understand that Ecclesiastes says the whole duty of man, the whole reason why we're put here is to fear God and keep His commandments. So let's keep that in mind as we go through the lesson tonight. And if we're not pleasing God with all our time, our money, or whatever, whatever's hindering us from that crown of righteousness, let's do something about it tonight when that song's sung. Let's come to the front. Let's repent or be baptized and be added to the church. Acts 2:47. Like I say, that's why we're put here for. And God is no respecter of persons. He don't care who we are. Because when God tells us something to do in the Bible, you know, guess what? He means it, don't He? That's why we have a judgment day. He's not gonna wishy-washy. We ain't gonna get up there and talk our way out of it, are we? Because He gives us time on this life and opportunities to do His will while we have time and opportunity. We're all here for a purpose, ain't it? It's to please God, to praise God, to worship God in spirit and in truth. This is to me an opportunity. You know, I'm a little nervous because this is my second one. But like a brother told me in the back there, and I said it to myself, Brother Don from West Guest. He said, be yourself. And that's what I said to myself last night. I'm going to be myself and do the things, the ability God give me, and everything will work out because we're put here to please God. And, you know, a lot of times we tend to forget that. But that's why we're put here. Now we'll turn our minds to the lesson tonight. You know, in our lives, we have problems, don't we? The ones of us that obey the gospel, we still have problems. You know, once we destroy the body of sin, everything ain't rosy when we come up out of the water, are we? There's a growth period. The Bible teaches that, don't it? As newborn babies desiring the milk of the Word. The more we learn, the more faith we have, the more we handle situations, ain't it? But we still have problems in life, ain't it? I don't care how old you are, you still have problems in our lives. But there's a way that we can overcome them problems, ain't it? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's what Paul told in the Philippi. And that's what ought to be in our minds. We can do all things through Christ. But remember, the reason why we have these meetings is to bring people to Christ. So if you've never been baptized, Acts 2:38, you're not in Christ, and you can't get your strength through Christ, because we're not in Him, is it? So let's keep that in mind as we go through the lesson tonight, that we all have problems, but it's what we do with them problems that our Christian life goes further and further. You know, even James says, as we get in, James says about these temptations and troubles. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But the title of my lesson tonight will be Warring or Fighting Against Ourselves. I hope tonight this lesson is beneficial to you because I get up my lessons for myself. This is the way I think. I might have heard something from somebody, and I use a lot that I hear from, that I read about Brother Ray McManus. He had some of the wonderful writings that you ever read. So a lot of my studying comes from thinking about the problems that we have, and I may help someone else with what I went through. Shouldn't that be the purpose of our lives is everybody join together and let's get to heaven together. You know, all that's in heaven is love. And we ought to be doing that here. Some stronger than the other, the younger ones, so we need to be better examples. There's so many things that we can be doing, ain't there, in our lives, ain't there? The first thing we want to read is Romans 7:14-25. It's a little long, but I think it's in Revelation 1:3. It says, blessed is he who readeth these scriptures, ain't it? So we're going to have, a couple of times, we're going to have a little lengthy reading, but to get to a purpose. The 14th verse says, for we know that the law is spiritual. This is what Paul's saying to the church at Rome. He said, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For what would I do, allow not, for that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Neither then is it no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, and how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then the law, when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is my members. Paul said, O wicked man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? Now that's our theme tonight. Warring against ourselves, fighting among ourselves. You know, there's a war inside of us. There's the things that we can't do, that's the things we want to do, ain't it? That's what Paul said. Paul said, the things I can do, I don't want to do. The things I can't do, that's the things I want to do. That's called warring in your mind, ain't it? Fighting against yourself, ain't it? And it's sin. But the things I can, I don't want to do. It's always a battle within ourselves because the devil's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. So that means that he's putting things in our mind to get us away from the narrow way, the path that leads to life. Because we're warring against ourselves. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. This is what we war against in this life, ain't it? And the TV's helped out the devil more than anything in it. Everything's on it, ain't it? So we're warring against ourselves of watching these things and seeing these things. But the best thing to do is quit watching these things, and it'll help us in our everyday life not to be warring against ourselves. You know, a lot of it's not that easy to stay on the straight and narrow path, is it? I don't care who you are. There's still thoughts goes through your mind and stuff like that. But you know, a lot of times I've figured out this. We put ourselves in a lot of these situations. If you got HBO on your TV, you got to take it off. You can't watch it. So if we don't put ourselves in these situations, that's what we war against our minds. For the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. That's the three sins that the Bible covers the whole thing in. So the problem a lot of times that we have is because of our own selves putting ourselves in the situation. Amen. So don't be discouraged tonight that we all have problems. We're all not perfect people. We're forgiven people. But you got to strive like we said last night. I use this illustration. I'll use it again. Christian is Christ-like. But we all say, we can't be like Christ. He was perfect. That's what we talked about last night. Well, that's true. But let's don't use that point to where we can just sit down and say, I'm not perfect. I can do what I want to. That ain't what it means, is it? Christian means Christ-like. That means we better be trying to be like Christ, perfect, to the day we die. Amen. Then that'll help us fight off these things. Just wanting the things that we can do, let's do it. The things we can't, let's get them things out of our mind. That's what Paul said, O wicked man that I am. We're all, ain't we? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, is the whole sins of the world, ain't it? Even the pride of life, ain't it? Let's turn to Matthew 4:1-10. We'll talk about that, about Jesus. He gives us a way out of these, to get our minds cleared away from these lusts of the flesh and lusts of the eyes. In Matthew 4:1-10. Then Jesus was led up to the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards a hunger. So let's keep in mind, Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was at his lowest point, wasn't he? And when the tempter came to him, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Before we get on any further in this, let's remember this right here. Who is the devil tempting? Jesus! You think he can't tempt me and you? You think we don't war and fight against ourselves? Here he is tempting the Son of God. What can the devil do with us? We can't overcome the devil without Jesus Christ. Now we'll go a little further. He commanded these stones. He told him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then he goes on. The devil takes him unto the holy city and sets him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hands shall bear thee up, and lest at any time thou let thy foot slip against the rock, cast thy foot against the rock." Here's Jesus. He says, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God." Let's go a little further. The devil took him to a exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the things, the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. I'm going to stop right there before I go on. Some may disagree with this. Jesus was tempted every way known to man. Did you know that? Did we realize that he was tempted with everything? He wasn't just tempted. No, we read this, we think he was just tempted, just give him the kingdom. He was tempted with everything because he knows our infirmities, don't he? He knows everything we go through, so he went through it, didn't he? Whatever sin to man is, Jesus was tempted of that. So let's keep that in mind. And he said to him, "All these things will I give you if you'll fall down and worship me." Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, it's written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind." He said, "In him only shall you serve." Now, I read all that to say this. Jesus had it very hard. He was at his lowest point. Jesus always answered with what? The Word of God. Now, when we have these things in our minds, it's trying to pull us away from God. That's why we answer with the Word of God. That's why we have to do what it says in Romans 12 and 2. I want to read that. I can quote it, but let's read it. Jesus answered every time with the Word of God. Did we ever notice that? Every time he answered with what God wanted him to say. Now let's read Romans 12 and 2, and this is how we do this. When the things of this life is eating away at us and wanting us to sin, here's what we should be doing. Paul said, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God is." Now, when temptations arise, how are we going to answer to ourselves what God says if we never study the Bible to transform our minds? If we're conformed to this world, we won't overdo the temptation. But that's why he tells us here to be transformed your mind. That means 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says, "And study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needing not to be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth." This is how we can overcome the devil, by transforming the way we think, where we go, what we do, way we dress, way we do it all. We answer it by what? The instruction manual. That's the way Jesus did. Every time the devil tempted him, he answered him with the Word of God. Every time we have a temptation, something or to tell us to go in there and find out what's going on in the Bible. That's more you study, the less temptation. I'll show you that in a few minutes. We all have problems, don't we? The only way to win the battle is in Jesus Christ. The only way to win the battle is to stay in this Word, to pray, to meditate every minute of the day that we have. You remember what we said last night about your reasonable service? That's right above, Ann. holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's not you left over time. You left over times for you. That's where we go wrong. We got too much. We do our reasonable service. We add God in some. But to get the devil and the sinfulness out of our world, we have to study daily and pray that God will help us through it. And we answer it through our minds, that we transform the way we think, what we watch, where we go. And we won't put ourselves in these situations, will we? Warring against ourselves. We got to make our goal heaven. We got to make our goal to be with God, because He sent His Son for us. Not because of what He's going to give us. It's because we love what He's done for us. There's a difference, ain't it? There's a difference right there. Warring against ourselves. Let's turn to Galatians. Galatians 6th chapter. 6 and 2. I want to read that. He says, "Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Then it says in the 5th verse, "For every man shall bear his own burdens." Now I'm going to read this with it. Matthew 16 and 24, Jesus said, "Deny yourself and take up the cross and follow me." That's the warring we have in ourselves. I said all this to say this. The warring in ourselves is we don't want to carry the cross. But here, over here in Galatians, it says, to bear one another's burdens. That means we help each other carry the cross. That'll help us in our lives, in our temptations, in our Christian growth. Won't it? But it also says for me to bear my own burdens. That means you carry your cross. You do what we're supposed to do. And we'll see later on in the scriptures that the devil will flee from us. Because the warring inside. You know, in my Christian life, and I don't know about yours, in my Christian life, I have more problems with me than I do anything else. You're not going to make me fall out of the congregation. You know, I can be sitting in the church thinking that I'm going, and I probably done slipped away because of warring in my mind, coming, we'll see as we go on, complacent. Remember last night I said the Christian life is this way. You can't level out. You can't level out. You can learn, can't we? So we got to stay focused. So our Christian life, the problem we have more than anything is me, because I'm the one that's got to get up and go. I'm the one that's got to go in there and study. I'm the one that's got to take of the Lord's Supper worthy. You see what I'm saying? Warring among ourselves. We're fighting ourselves to keep away from the sinful lust and stuff of this world, right? But remember, a lot of times we put it, a lot of time on our own self. We put ourselves in situations. Ourselves are pretty special to us, ain't they? But we've got to deny ourselves and take up the cross. In Galatians 6, 2 and 5, it says, to help people with their burdens and bear your own. Do your part. Matthew 16 and 26. Last night I had this backwards because I said some of my second lesson tonight. So I want to correct that. Last night I said 16 and 26. That's not, for 16 and 24. So I'm sure last night if you was reading, you seen I had it backwards. Now, we want to go to Matthew 16 and 26. It says, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" That's one of my favorite scriptures. Because the second half answers it. He says, "Or what would you give in exchange for your soul?" What would I give? This is what Jesus is saying. What would I give to spend eternity with the devil and the angels in a fire and brimstone? What would I give in exchange for that? What would you give? What is a man profited if I got everything and I lose my soul? Anything that keeps us from obeying God, we'll write it down. Here's the reason why I'm not going to be baptized tonight. Think about that. Just go ahead and write it down on a piece of paper. Here's the reason why I'm not going to come to the front and ask for forgiveness to get back into the book of life, added back into the church. Write it down. Because that's what you're exchanging your soul for. Warring against ourselves. We want one foot over in the world and one foot over here in the Christian life. And the way I understand the Bible, with a little bit of knowledge that I have, there's no in between. We got to give that 110%. So what would you give in exchange? What's worth missing heaven? What's worth? That's a big question, ain't it? It's just mind-boggling, ain't it? That the people that has no care about God anymore. Ain't it? Let's turn to James 1 and 2. James 1 and 2. James is my favorite book, and I think his brother Prince here on the front row is his favorite book too. James 1 and 2. The Bible calls our problems, we're warring against our minds and fighting against ourselves to stay faithful. Here's what the Bible calls it. Temptations. Remember the devil? He's a roaring lion seeking he may devour. Let's keep this in mind before we go further. The devil is not the old red thing with a pitchfork and whatever. The devil is a beautiful woman. The devil is lots of money I got to have. The devil is things that keeps me, pulling me away from God. The devil is magazines. The devil is the TV. So let's don't think the devil is some ugly red creature with a pitchfork. He's anything but sin. You ever thought of it that way? Now let's see what James says. James 1 and 2. He said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Well, this is telling me that I'm going to have temptations. Diver means difference. Don't it? It says, "The knowing of this, the trying of your faith worketh patience." You know, I believe with the problems we have and the temptations we have, if we overcome them, through what? The Word. He tells us how to do it. That's what makes our faith grow. I talked to Brother Harry a lot on the phone. And I said, "Harry, you got a lot of stripes on your back, ain't you?" That's just an old saying. That means he's been there, he's done that. And I'm sure Brother Bass and the ones that's in here, it's got a lot of stripes on their back. It's like Paul and them. They went, you know, Jesus, when he walked here, when he came here, he didn't have a place to lay his head. He laid in a manger. And then one time in the Bible I read the other day, I think it was in Luke, he says, "Birds have nests and something like that, and the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." So it ain't a rosy life, is it? But you got to want it. You got to want it. If you get anything out of these lessons this whole weekend, you got to want it with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. That's the only way to fight off the war and the battling of our heads to trying to get one foot back into the world. Luke 9:62 says, "He who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven." Remember Lot's wife? She looked back. This world is not our home. So let's quit trying to make it our home. Sunday night, at the Lord's will, I said this last night. I got a lesson on death. And it's a little different thing, and I hope if you can come back Sunday night, I hope you'll get to hear it. You'll enjoy it. Now we'll move on to James. James 1, 12 through 16. He said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptations, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life." So we're going to be tried with these temptations now. How did Jesus overcome his temptations? Y'all remember? By the Word of God. He said, "You'll receive a crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love Him." And God, when He promises something, it's going to happen. That's what I was meaning a while ago. When God says something, He's going to do it. God means it. And He means that we'll live in heaven with Him if you stay faithful unto death. Revelation 2 and 10. Be faithful unto death and I'll give you a crown of life. You know, last night, I keep bringing it up, but it all goes together. I'm trying to get these lessons where they hook on to each other. You know, I've seen a lot of people do that. It's not easy to do. But last night, all our blessings that God has begged us. Even Paul would say, I beseech thee, and that means beg, to do my will. So he promises us eternal life if we endure these temptations that we have in life. Things bother us, but we just can't come complacent. We can't just sit and not do. It's good for us as the older ones now to pass on and let the younger ones do it. But let us don't quit doing what we need to be doing too. Give an example, doing the things. That fights off the devil, you'll see here in a few minutes. 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. It's the devil that's tempting us. You know, God didn't make this plan of salvation for us to fall. If I miss heaven, you know who I'm going to blame? Me. Because me is the reason why I won't make it. Nobody else. Nobody makes me not read or study or visit or do the things. That's what we fight against. We got to get up and go. We got to do it while we have time and opportunity, haven't we? 14. For every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Now, what makes us sin? What makes us have these temptations? Our own lust. Ain't it? You know, in Adam and Eve, when they took of the fruit and ate of it, that gave us a right to choose. That brought evil into the world, didn't it? They knew right from wrong. And so do we. So we're the ones got to choose what path we want to go. You remember last night I said, we're in one of them. I don't care who you are, you're in one of the paths. The narrow way or the broad way. There's no in between. When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when it is finished, it brings forth death. We can't let it stay in us. We've got to get it out. The only way to get sin out is to study and meditate and pray. Pray to God. If we brought reproach on the church, the only way to get the sin out of us is come to the front. We never obey the gospel, we're living in sin. We need to do that, Acts 2:38. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. You know, Jesus was tempted the same as us. We got to follow Him as close as we can. He's been through everything that we've been through. God didn't leave nothing out in His holy word, did He? Let's turn to 2 Timothy 4, 6, 7 through 8. 2 Timothy 4, 6, 7, 8. 2 Timothy 4, 6, 7, 8. Before we read that, I want to show you something. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8 will be the next scripture we read. But I want to show you something. Is the Bible that too big to study and learn? It ain't, is it? Look how small. That's the New Testament law. Now we need to, the old law was written for our learning. We need to study it too. But here's what we're under. We're under the New Testament law. Our church started in Acts the second chapter. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is to bring us to Christ. So shouldn't we just read this over and over? Look how many pages. It's not that many. We look at it like this. You say, you never read all that, would you? That's what we're under. The New Testament law. You ever looked at it that way? Now we'll get back to our lesson. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 10. This is the Apostle Paul talking to young Timothy. He says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Well, this is the Apostle Paul. Why did he say, I fought a good fight? Do we have to fight too? We have to fight off all the weary darts of the devil, don't we? That's what he's talking about. He said, I finished my course. I've done what I'm supposed to do. I denied myself and I carried my cross. That's what he's saying, ain't it? I fought a good fight. God wants warriors. He wants people to work for Him. He wants people to do things. He wants people to be energized. He wants everybody, He don't want nobody to be ashamed of Him. So we can save anybody at any cost. Especially ourselves and our families. You know someone that's fell away? I don't care how many times you talk to them. That'll be the lesson in the morning. I don't care how many times you talk to them. Keep talking to them. It's that important, ain't it? Don't let the devil tell you you can't get by it. You don't need to be doing it. Warring against ourselves. Let's don't listen to him. Let's listen to what the Word's telling us. That's why he sent it down here. For us to fight the good fight, to finish the course. Here's what Paul says. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. But not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. So everybody has a right to salvation. But we've got to fight off the weary darts of the devil. Ain't we? Continue to grow and to study and to pray. We're going to have calluses on our knees praying to God. That's a gift. James says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How many of us pray without ceasing? He's not saying, you know, in that in Thessalonians, he's not telling you to close your eyes while you're driving down the road. But you can pray constantly. Keep a prayer on your mind. You can't make it without it. You ask the ones that give lessons over the years and it's got the scars on their back. There's a bunch of them in here. And say how they've made it. And they'll just say, through prayer and studying and meditating and not being ashamed. Romans 1:16. That's the only way to fight against yourself. Say, yep, I'm going to do this today. How many times that I've come up here and I've had to talk myself into coming to these meetings? It's too far. Then drive 5 hours to Florida. 5 hours to Tennessee. It wasn't too far to do that. Warring against yourself. What's the problems with our Christian life? It hurts more than anything that we can't stop. Is our own selves. Nobody in here is going to make me not obey the gospel. Nobody in here is going to make me to miss heaven. I'm going to do it. That's why you got to study. You got to meditate and ask God for knowledge and wisdom and strength. That's what I pray for constantly. Because the things of this world is going to be gone away. There's where Paul said we get a crown of righteousness. You know, in Revelation it says, be faithful unto death and I'll give you a crown of righteousness. Remember God who promised will do it. He will do it for me. The biggest battle we fight is in ourselves. Our own selves. What a shame, man. All we got to do is do it. You remember in Revelation, I said a little bit about this last night. Revelation 2:1-4 talks about the church. Let's turn over there. Revelation 2. Revelation the second chapter. The church at Ephesus. He said, I know thy works, I know thy labors, I know thy patience, thou hast not bore them which are evil, but hast tried them which they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne them, and hast patience, and for my name's sake labored, and hast not fainted, but nevertheless I have something against them. I wonder what he's got against them. They're working, they're doing everything they're supposed to be doing. Are we doing the same thing here? Are we working and laboring and doing the things that we're supposed to be doing? But he said he had something against them. I wonder what that is. You lost your love and desire for what you were doing. That's why I said last night, if you love what you're doing, it'll show. You don't have to tell nobody you go to church. If somebody's got to ask you, do you go to church, is something dead up the creek? If they work with you constantly and they say, fine, they say, you go to church anywhere? Is something wrong? You're not loving what you're doing, are you? They wouldn't love what they was doing. You know, when you obey the gospel, you come up out of the water, you're on fire, you want to study, you want to read, you want to do everything. Then all of a sudden, it starts tailing off. But here's what he's saying here. Don't let it tail off. Don't war against your mind. Who cares what somebody else is doing? Let's worry about what we're doing. That'll help the church more than anything. What we did. Be an example thing. Warring against ourselves. We got to be careful. Anyway, our feelings on one side, God's Word on the other side. James clears that up. James 4:17. He says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. So if we're wondering if we ought to be doing these things, we ought to be studying, visiting, going to church every time we can. If we know to do good, guess what that is? Sin. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. If I know to do good, see, I fight against myself, don't I? I know I ought to be studying. I'm going to say this and we'll move on. You know, a lot of times I think we confess our sin. We'll say, I know I ought to be reading more. I know I ought to be visiting more. Well, when we confess that, we're not forgiven for that till what? We change. Did you notice what repentance is? It's to change. So we can confess all we want, but we got to change. That's the difference. We got to say, I'm sorry, God, forgive me, God, and change. We can't continue on the same path. Why do we ask for forgiveness if we're not going to change? Think about that. Warring against ourselves. We're trying to please ourselves. You know, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love means that I'm doing what this book says. That's when the pillar gets soft. Warring against ourselves. Therefore, to him that knoweth do good and doeth not, to him that sins. I love Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. It says, I'm not going to read all four of them. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know what that great salvation was? Jesus Christ coming down here dying for me and you. That's why when God said, you better do this, you better do that, you better do this, in His scriptures, He means it. So I'm going to fight against myself. I'm going to do what God says. Self, you, I'm going to deny you self. I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to follow God. That's with our first love and desire. That's everything we want out of life, thing. You know, I believe that's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Let's don't sit here because we've been in the church 20, 30, 40 years. I don't know how long. I've been in here a long time. Let's don't sit in the church and not examine ourselves. When? When did Paul say to examine? Daily. You know, the only thing you can do about it right now. And don't think members of the Church of Christ can't fall. Demas did. He went back into the present world. Lust of flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life. He was going along and apparently looked back, didn't he? Let's turn to Acts. We're going to start winding it down. Acts 24. 24:24. And after certain days, when Felix came unto it with his wife Priscilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. And as he reasoned righteous, temperance, judgments to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. I have a convenient season. I'll call for this. Turn that over. Acts 26:27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Now I read that to say this. He warred against his mind there. He said, I come back when you got a convenient season. It was on his mind. But you know, we don't read where he ever had that convenient season. I don't. And over here in Agrippa, he said, almost. He was warring against his mind. Do I want to give up this to become a Christian? Almost. That's where that song comes from, almost persuaded. How many times have we said in August, almost. But we fought against ourselves. The devil's throwing them darts at us. You don't need to do it right now. You don't need to do it right now. So we don't. Then we let that opportunity pass by. Scary, ain't it? Moses in Hebrews 11 chapter had to choose. He had it all in Egypt, didn't he? He chose rather to suffer persecution with the people of God. He won that war. Are we winning the war tonight? Felix lost. Well, we don't. I don't see where they said he did. And almost Agrippa. How many people has left this building almost persuaded, fighting among themselves? Christian fights among themselves to stay in the narrow way. The ones that never obey the gospel, you're sitting back there tonight fighting, should I, should I not, should I, should I not. I sit back there is how I know. We've all sat back there. Romans 8:18, the sufferings don't compare to the things God's got in store for me. If we stay faithful, we're going to have temptations. We fight against ourselves. We're not going to go out and lay drunk. We're not going to go out and do this. We're not going to go out and do that. We fight against ourselves. From doing the visiting, the studying, the reading, coming to church, talking to the Lord's Supper worthy. That's what we fight against. We got to stay faithful. That's the whole nutshell of these lessons I have. Last night is the gift of time and life for one purpose. Fear God, keep His commandments, is the whole duty of man. Thank you. What we put here. We're going to read James 4, 6, and 8. We'll have the invitations gone. James 4, 6, and 8. James 4, 6, and 8. I've lost. James 4, 6, and 8. Through 8. Still hunting. But He giveth more grace, whereof He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Here's the moral of the whole lesson. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. How are we going to draw nigh to God? How do we draw nigh to God? Studying. Meditating, praying, talking to people about it. The more we do for God, the more we draw near to God, the more we love God, the more we're going to do for God. The more you closer you get to God, the more you rely on God in everything we do, bank or whatever, guess who's going to leave? Didn't it say that? You're drawing out of God and the devil will flee from you. Here's how we draw now. We got to put our time and effort in this right here. Tonight, I hope you enjoyed the lesson. His thoughts, like I said, I get my lessons up for myself. Tonight, the last scripture I'm going to read before we give the invitation is Hebrews 10 and 31. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. That's scary, ain't it? You hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of your sins if you fell away. 1 John 2 and 1 says that, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not, but if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. I hope and pray that these two lessons have been beneficial to you. It's been beneficial to me because I've studied and studied and studied, and that does me good. The more I can study, the more I learn, the more I have faith, and the more opportunity I have when I stand there before Him. He'll say, enter in. Ain't that what we after? Enter into the doors of the Lord. That's why we're all here tonight, ain't it? To make it to heaven. So if you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. If you fell away, you need to come back to the church. As we stand and sing the song, it's been selected.